So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. Lord, I just am awestruck every day that I live about the treasure of your presence in our lives. Every day that I draw closer and closer to you, Father, I see more of your heart. Father, I thank you so much for this family gathered here. Right now, without realizing it, we're right in front of your throne. We're right there, Father, our hearts linked together with all those who went before us. Time and eternity mean nothing to you. It's all one. And Father, we are of one heart with those who have went before us. Paul's hearing us today. Paul's in your presence right before your throne. We're here today right before your throne. And Father, we're so thankful for that. We're so thankful that you cared enough to look down through the eons of time to see us today. And Father, we enter this time of celebration of your word today. We enter this time with awe. We enter this time expectantly to hear your voice, to hear the voice from the heart of the Father. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you that we can hear your voice. Amen. Amen. You know, it's really all about the heart of the Father. That's what this is all about. No matter what it is, it's about the heart of the Father. His loving heart. You know, if we would just seek his heart in everything that we do, our entire lives would change, our purpose would change, revelation would come, marriages would be healed, homes and families would be put back together. You wouldn't have to watch the news to find all the tragedies around, because there wouldn't be any. You know, people would be loving instead of hating each other. But you know, that's available to us right now, in the now. It really is. That's why that blood was shed. But we've got to understand the heart of the Father, don't we? He will reveal his heart to us. He will. But we have to be looking for it. We have to position ourselves in our daily life and seek after the heart of the Father. What Jesus say, seek and ye shall find, didn't he? The problem is, we don't seek the heart of the Father. We seek the problem or the issue of life without realizing we're doing it. But we need to start seeking the heart of the Father. How do you seek the heart of the Father without getting into his word that reveals his heart? You have to get in here, in that Bible, to see his heart. You can know he loves you and then still not know his heart. So it's time for us to get back in the Bible. Some of us have Bibles on phones, which is great, praise the Lord. Don't text them, church, but we have them on tablets. So there's no excuse not to open the Bible. So please do, open the Bible. It's right there for you. So let's go in that Bible that you've opened, whether it be on a tablet or a phone or that Bible in front of you, to Proverbs 4:23. That is our foundation scripture. We'll spend just a moment there and then leave and come back. So if you need to mark it, you can do that too. Proverbs 4:23 in the NIV, because that's what's in front of you, says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. How many things? Everything. Naturally, I like the Amplified better. It says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. A little bit different. Basically saying the same thing, but it's trying to point out to us that life itself comes from the heart. Life comes from the heart. Everything in our life is a heart condition. That's why the title. It's a heart condition. It's a result of a heart condition. This verse here is the point of our message. Now, ever watch the movie where they start at the end? I don't like them. You start at the end, and then they tell you what happened to get there. You know. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, or 3 weeks earlier, you know, I don't like those movies. I like to work my way to it, not to know what's going to happen. And that's not what I'm doing here. But this is the point of the message, and everything we say will be with that point in mind. So keep and guard. Why do you keep and guard something? Because it's precious and of value. Why does it say keep? Isn't it the same thing? No. You can guard something without taking care of it. Keep it means you take care of it. You watch over it. You keep it prepared. You're working on it. That's why I like to amplify it. Put that extra word there, keep and guard. You know, I can guard something that's yours, but I'm not keeping it because it's yours. But if I'm keeping it, then it's mine. So keep and guard your heart. Those words are important to us. Let's go to Matthew 12:33. We're going to come back to this one later in a little bit more fullness. I guess I better go there too, huh? Matthew 12:33 says, starts off with, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. I'm going to take a verse at a time here. And the Amplified says, either make a tree sound, healthy, and good, and its fruit sound, healthy, and good, or make the tree rotten, diseased, and bad, and its fruit rotten, diseased, and bad. For the tree is known and recognized and judged by its fruit. A little stronger, isn't it? It's known, recognized, and judged by its fruit. Why did he? I asked my question, a question as I was reading all the translations. I got several. Looking at it, and that word make is there. You know, I thought, why make a tree good? Why didn't he say a good tree will produce? He didn't. He said make a tree. The word make is there is because that tree or person, it's talking about a person, did not, it did not start off that way. Okay, it did not start bad. It was not created bad. It was not created good. It became that way through a process of time, through a process of choices, through input that came into it. It became bad or good. That's why he used the word make there, and it's all in the different translations. When you make something, there's a process going on, right? A process, a change has taken place. It's becoming something. So that's why it says here to make a tree good or make a tree bad. Isn't that awesome? That also tells me if it's being made good or bad, then change can take place. So I can determine what my tree is by my choices, by what I do with it. And you probably already have guessed it, but where I go to do that is my heart. The spirit man is what causes the tree to become good or bad. What I do with my heart, it's a heart condition, whether we think it is or not. What I have become in my life is a heart condition. It's the result of the condition of my heart. And that can change. So that word make is important. Whatever the tree or the person becomes, its fruit is the same. You cannot pretend to be good and have good fruit. You're going to be good or you're going to be bad. That's what Jesus is saying. You can change your fruit if you want to. But you have to go to the place to get it changed. And that's the heart of the Father. You have to want to. John Osteen had a sermon called How Big Is Your Want To? Well, that's how far you're going to go. How big is your want to? Do you really want change in your life? If you do, go to the heart or your spirit man. Do something with your spirit man. It will change you. Okay? And your fruit will follow you. Verse 34 says in the NIV, you brood of vipers. Now, he wasn't saying, you brood of vipers. We read it that way, don't we? No. He was irritated here. This is Jesus said, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now that's just about says it. But again, I like the Amplified. I'm sorry. You offspring of vipers. What's an offspring? It's the children, right? You children of vipers. You offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil, wicked? For out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in there is going to come out, is what Jesus is saying. So if I want to change my fruit, I've got to change what's here. What's in the abundance of my heart? That's the only way I can make a change. Now, who was he talking to there? If you back up, read spend some time in Matthew chapter 12. It's a cool chapter. I like it. You got to wear your Band-Aids on your feet, though, because it's going to hurt your toes. But it's there. I like Matthew chapter 12. He was talking to the Pharisees, and what had just happened? He's in a group of people, and he just performed a deliverance. A demon was cast out. And the Pharisees said, the people marveled, okay? But the Pharisees said, he cast demons out by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And the next verse says, knowing what was in their heart. Then he starts teaching. And he got so far, he talked about the tree being good, tree being bad. He's still talking to them in front of everybody else. He's not alone here, and he's not just the Pharisees. He's talking, everybody's hearing this. And now these are the elite. These are the rulers of Israel, basically. These are the Pharisees that he's talking to, and you just don't do that. Well, he was. And then he says this out loud, and the people heard them. You brood of vipers. What did he say? A viper is a very poisonous snake. It kills you. It's what was on Paul's hand when he flung it into the fire on that island where they were shipwrecked. And they thought he was a god because he didn't die. He should have. So what did he call these Pharisees? Snakes. Vipers. Not the elite good people. Think about that. So you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil? He said that to a Pharisee? To the Pharisees? You who are evil, speak good, say anything good. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Verse 35. The good man from his inner good treasure, this amplified, flings forth good things. And the evil man from his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. Note, they both come from the inner storehouse. One was a treasury, one was a storehouse. But they both came from the inner heart of the person, right? It came out because it was present. I like that word fling in the Amplified because it's like somebody sowing seeds. When I was a kid, Dad had a bag and he'd dip in there and he'd fling those seeds. That's the way they sowed, and that's what Jesus is talking about. They're flinging forth good things because it's coming out of their heart by their mouth. What they're saying is being flung forth as a seed. Some good, some bad, depending on the condition of the heart. One, you're sowing weeds. One, you're sowing something that will bear good fruit and help others. But it comes from the condition of the person's heart. Same is true for us. A good man from his inner good treasure. The word that's in your heart is a treasure. It's God's treasure. And it's meant to bring forth life. We are life givers. That's who we are. This Bible, this word, is living. So it brings life. So when we fling that word forth to others, we bring life. It's important, the condition of the heart. Now this next one, verse 36. But I tell you, who said this? He did. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. Who will have to give account? The person will. Why? Because your words are bearing fruit. They mean something. They're important. Either your words are full of life because life is in you, or they're not full of life and the word's not in you. That's what you're being held accountable for. Ouch. Now this next verse is, I had to do this. Laugh if you want to. This next verse is a humdinger. You know what a humdinger is? It's when what you get when you cross a bumblebee with a doorbell. I had to do it. I heard that. Yeah, that's what I said when I first heard that. I was watching Perry Mason the other night, and you know, the old classic ones. And this guy was trying to be a comedian in a restaurant. And that's what he came up with. Perry Mason didn't laugh. Well, I didn't either. But the more I thought about it, it fit right there. This next verse is what you call a humdinger. Verse 37. For by your words, Whose words? Mine. For by Michael's words, Michael will be justified and acquitted. And by Michael's words, will be condemned and sentenced. Put your name in there because that's he's talking to us. Read that again and listen to it and think about what it's being said there. Jesus said, For by your words, you will be justified and acquitted. And by your words, you will be condemned and sentenced. Again, it's coming out of the heart, the condition of the heart. Every time I speak wrong or don't speak life or don't speak according to the word of God, I put something else in my mouth other than that. When I'm dealing with circumstances and situations, that is what's condemning me. My own words condemn me. Now, there's other verses that line up with that, not just this one. But when it comes in red from Jesus' own mouth, it means something. And it's something that we need to, if we need a verse that we need to look at and guard ourselves with, that's one of them. Keep it before your eyes, because what you are saying is what you are becoming. It's what you are being judged by. It's also what will change things. Satan knows that. That's why he tries to pervert your words, to get you off of the word and onto the circumstance. If he can move you from the word of God to the circumstance, he can change that circumstance and keep the word from coming to pass. And all the time, you're praying, oh God, please help me here. And it looks like God didn't do anything. And he did. He gave you the word to speak. And that word you speak changes the circumstance. It's a process, but we don't do that. We'll speak it once, maybe. And then the next time, we keep talking the circumstance. And we wonder why it keeps getting bigger, because I'm accountable for that. I know it's a hard word. That's why I say you need just a humdinger verse, because it is a humdinger verse. It's the truth itself. You know, God's not going to go beyond the word that I speak or the words that I have in my heart. He cannot go any further than that, because he gave me the choice and the authority to take his word, which is covenant. That's what we're functioning on. It's covenant. And we don't know what that means. You know what that cross was? It was a great big altar that stretched between time and eternity. Blood was shed on that altar. God's own blood. He said, I'm going to provide my own lamb. Now that word in your lap there, I hope you got it open. That word was bought by blood, sealed in blood, and it cannot lie. And I need to know that. But the enemy comes along, and our natural thinking, because of our past, what we built into our lives, comes along. We start thinking, well, that can't happen. It's not true. It's just a book. Well, you've just been successfully deceived.
That's right.
And as long as you think that, you're not going any further, amen, no matter how much you pray.
Amen.
It won't work any other way. This is the way God set it up this way. He set it up that way. By words, everything came into creation. By words, or things are maintained. By words, you change things.
Amen.
And whether you think so or not, your words are changing things.
Yes.
For the good or for the bad. Now, my toes are sore, okay? Not because of the shoes I got on. But this verse, if you hang it out there, that humdinger verse, will change your life. You'll start guarding what you say and how you say it. That's why those pew Bibles are there. To get us back into what God said.
Yes.
Not what we think he said, and not what somebody said he said.
That's right.
What I see he said.
Amen.
Okay? I take accountable because I'm being held accountable for it.
Yes.
If I'm being held accountable for something, I can't base it on what you do. Okay? When I stand before my Father, I'm accountable for what I do.
Yes.
My wife done all the praying. That doesn't work. Now, even if no matter how hard she prays, she can't take my place with my Father. I'm in his heart. I've got to take that place. I'm responsible for me, whether I like that or not. I know it's hard, but you know it's time that some of this hard stuff come forth from pulpits? Because you're not going to find out any other place. We have to know this. And if all you pick up today is that verse and verse 23 of Proverbs 4, then you've come a long way if you walk in it. and God will lead you to the next step. Okay, this word is alive. This is also found in Luke 6:45. It's a little different, but it's the same statement. Let's go back to Proverbs 13. I'm finding it here myself. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13 and verse 2. This goes along with that. Proverbs 13:2, NIV says, "From the fruit of their lips, people enjoy good things, but the unfaithful have an appetite for violence." Appetite, where's the appetite? Right in the mouth again. Verse 3, "Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly," notice it's words again, "will come to ruin." So here in the NIV it says, if you guard your lips in what you say, if you do that, then it's going to preserve your life. Your words will preserve your life. If you don't guard your lips and speak what the word says, you're still going to be speaking, but it's going to lead you to ruin. So who makes the choice here on the words come out of my mouth? I do. Not you. And not God, and not the devil. I do. I make that decision. How can you know what words to put in your mouth if you don't go to find out where the words are, where the word of life is? Because it's going to be different than what you're speaking. I can guarantee you that. Okay. Now here's what the Amplified says. A good man eats good from the fruit of his mouth. What happens when you eat? Where does it go? Goes down to the center of your being, your stomach area. And then it brings life to all of your being. A mountain of cake and 15 pizzas will not bring you life, I can guarantee you. It'll bring you something, but it won't be life, okay? A good man eats good from the fruit of his mouth, but the desire of the treacherous is for violence. Isn't there a desire when you eat something? That's why you eat it, right? You want it. That's why you put all that stuff on top of it, because you want it to taste good. Verse 3, he who guards his mouth keeps his life. So when I guard what I say, what am I doing? I'm keeping my life. I'm protecting it. I'm doing something with my life. You're not going to keep my life, no matter how much you want to. Won't work. I keep my own life. He who guards his mouth keeps his life, but he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. He's speaking the wrong thing, you're coming to ruin, aren't you? Oh, that's so important for us to realize. We think, you name it and claim it. Exactly. It's exactly what you're doing. You're claiming life. You're putting life in your mouth, so life comes forth. The word is alive, according to Hebrews 4:12. It's alive. So when you speak words that are alive, what happens? They bring life. Now let's go back to Proverbs 4. We're going to walk through that a little bit. I guess I got time. Let's go back to Proverbs 4:20. And I'm going to say it this way, NIV first. My son, pay attention. Attention costs you something, doesn't it? So you got to pay for it. Pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Amplified, similar, consent and submit. If I consent to something, I'm agreeing with it. If I'm submitting to it, I'm allowing it to take governorship or ownership in my life. That's why I submit to it. I can pay attention to it, but not submit to it. A lot of times, I was a kid, at least, I was a kid one time. Yeah. Anyways, I used to listen to my dad and mom, but it doesn't mean I paid attention to them. Okay, it doesn't mean I consented to what they said or I submitted to it. You can pay attention to your boss, but not submit to what he says. Okay, that's why that I like the Amplified is putting that extra word there to tell you that don't only just listen to what I say, consent to it or agree with it, and then submit to it or let it govern your life. That's what Proverbs is trying to say here. Verse 21. Let them, or the words, Let them, this amplified, let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. Right down here. How can you keep something in there that you don't put in? And keep it before your eyes. It means you're looking at it. It's something that draws your attention because it's bringing life to you. Verse 22, for they, those same words, are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Again, the word is alive, so it brings life. If I'll submit to it and consent to it and have it in the center of my heart, then that word that's in the center of my heart is flooding my being with life. It's cleansing my mind, healing my spirit. It's refreshing me because I'm spending time in it with my Father. I'm letting it bring life. I'm expecting it to bring life because it's alive. For they, those words that he spoke, this word, is alive, for they are life. So if I'm dealing with sickness and disease and fear and worry and depression and all this other stuff that we all deal with, where do I go to change it? Right there. How many of us do it? I know the Bible says that and go on down the road and keep talking about our problem. Well, as long as we're doing that, guess what's growing? Whose fault is it that it's growing? It's not Satan. He started the thing up and gave me the idea, and then I just locked into it and kept going that way. I didn't do anything to change it. Nothing to change it because I'm speaking opposite of what God's will is. And then I'll go in my prayer time and say, God, please help me here. Please help me here. We've all done this, but I haven't done anything with the word. And all my time is spent speaking opposite of it. So God is saying, come on, man, get the word in your heart and I can do something with that. I can't work with what you're giving me. Because we have that choice to make. We have that choice. This is so important to us. We have to get... I hear people say, let's go back to the basics, go back to the basics, go back to the basics. I don't want to go back there. Paul says, let's move from there. And he has a whole list of basics. Why do you have to go back to the basics? Because you dropped them. You didn't keep the basics. We're supposed to always have the basics present, always be walking and governing our life by those basics, but then moving on from there. But if we don't maintain the basics, we got to keep going back to them. So we never change anything. We never get nowhere. I got stuck last week going to a funeral in a flat yard. That was embarrassing. And I had to be pulled out. But when I noticed it, my wheels were just sitting there doing this. I was creating grease for my wheels. Good tires. I just wasn't going nowhere. I couldn't back up. I couldn't go forward. And that's what we do in our life. That's why that happened, I guess. Anyway, we create these slime areas in our life, and we want to back up. We want to go forward, and we can't go forward because it's full of slime. We're creating slime in our life. And we wonder why we don't move, because we're not doing what's required to move. It's all up to me. I can stay as long as I want to in the slime of my life. I can stay there as long as I want to. I got to change that. God cannot. And we need to quit looking at him to change it. He can give me the information. He can tell me how. He can teach me. He can send laborers across my pathway. Fortunately, there's still somebody there to pull me out. Otherwise, I'd have been stuck. There's no cell service. There's no nothing out there. So I'd have been there for a while. But there's people around that can help pull us out. And we need to, when we get in trouble, to seek the heart of a good brother or sister, someone we can count on and say, look, this is what I'm troubled with. I know what the word says, but I'm having trouble moving from it. Can you get in it with me here? Amen. And don't just say agree with me, agree on what? Yeah. Find out the promise you're agreeing on, because that promise will bring life if you agree on it. If we agree on that promise, we're moving together. He can help pull me out, and I can pull him out later. Amen. That's the way this thing works. We are one in the Spirit, and God expects us to function that way. Amen. This is life to us. keep, and there's verse 23 again, keep and guard your heart. Now, I just said health and healing and health is going to come from all of our flesh through this word. Then it says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, because it's valuable. It's one of the most precious things that we have, especially when you find out that that's where life is coming from. With all vigilance, for out of it flow the springs of life, the Amplified says. The springs of life come from that. From 24 on to 27, he's telling us how to do this. How do I keep and guard my heart? What do I guard it from? In verse 24, it says, put away from you false and dishonest speech, and willful and contrary talk put far from you. Notice it's right back to the mouth again. Notice how many times it comes up. If you don't believe in speaking, talking it, search the Bible about it. It's everywhere from cover to cover, right in the beginning, from Genesis on through. Okay, it's you got to talk it. Psalm 103 says the angels of God hearken to the voice of his word. Not to the thought word. He hearkens to the voiced word. Why? Because that's the word that brings life. When I speak it, I authorize them to move. What do they move on? They move on that word. Not on what I want them to do. They move on that word that is alive. Because that's what they're responsible for. This place right now is waiting on, it's full of angels. It's waiting on us. Yeah. It's waiting on us to speak the word so that they can grab it. Until that point, they're here, but they can't do much. So put them to work. Put your angels to work. That's also the voice that the devil listens to. When you speak the word and you mean business, he won't hang around there. He can't stand that. That's horrible to him. You want to hurt him, speak the word. Amen. That hurts him. Especially if you mean it. Yeah. If it's coming from your heart and out your mouth because you mean business with the word and it's alive and it's covenant, he can't change that. Right. He's got to move you away from covenant. He has to, because God will always fulfill his part of the covenant. When I speak his word, I'm speaking the terms and voicing the covenant. It's so vital for us to know this. Verse 25 says, let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose, and let your gaze be straight before you. Sometimes you've got to guard what you're looking at, and not just in the natural. Sometimes you've got to guard what's going into your spirit. You've got to look at what goes in there. Pay attention to it. Guard it. Keep your eyes on the word. Let it be your anchor and bring you back where you need to be. But you've got to be a student of the word to do that. And verse 26, consider well the path of your feet, and let all of your ways be established and ordered aright. Consider your steps. What do you use to consider them? The problem? No, you use the word to consider. You consider what God's promise says about that circumstance. And then you consider that. And you order your steps towards that no matter what comes up. Amen. When you do that, then God's right with you there. He's encouraging you. He's teaching you. He's teaching you how to walk and what to do and what to say. He's already made the provision. It's already on the path. When you walk his path, then the provision's there. Yeah. If you're not on the path where the provision is, he can't provide for that but get you back over to it. And we're stubborn. We don't want to go back. We like his path. We think. Until we hit the problem. Then we don't like it anymore. In verse 27, turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. In other words, be consistently constant. Gloria Copeland says, inconsistency lies the power. Amen. And we need to know that. If I'm consistently constant on the word, and that word's bringing life to me, then I can be anchored in it, and it will turn my thoughts and keep my path, because I'm anchored in what he said, not what I think he said. Okay, now let's see what Jesus said about this same subject. John chapter 15 and verse 7. This is how you change what's in your heart. Jesus told us how to change the way we're going and what's in our heart. In John chapter 15, the NIV says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." In other words, you won't have to make it happen. The word will make it happen. Amen. It will be done for you. But notice, we like that part. Ask what you will and it will be done for you. But we miss the first part of that. What did he say? If you, or me, remain in him. So that means I can move away, or he wouldn't be telling me to remain there. And my words remain in you. So there's two. I have to remain in him, and I can stay there, but not be in the word. That's my choice, to be in the word. So if I remain in him, and his word remains in me, then I can ask what I will. Why? Because my Father's heart and mine will be one. The anchor that brings us together is his word. We are in agreement. My Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus are in agreement with his own word. So when I let that word live in me, because I'm putting it in, and when I make it, I'm consistent with it, and making it my anchor, then whatever I'm asked is in line with that, with his will. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says that if I ask anything according to his will, it'll be done for them. It will be mine. It's mine. I know it's mine. I already know that it is because I'm asking according to his will. That's how we do this. We line it up with God's word. So if you live in me, the Amplified says, abide vitally united to me. Earlier in this same chapter, he's talking about the vine and the branches, right? We hang on the vine. There's a sap in the vine that brings me life. I do not produce the fruit, the sap does. The sap that flows through me produces the fruit. If I'm not united vitally to him, there is no fruit because there's no sap. And what happens to the fruits not produced, and I lose my life because I'm not joined to him. Okay, so this is what's happening. It's what he said. If you will remain in me, and my words, if you live in me, that's abide there, right? Live and abide, the same thing. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. So see how important this is. It's a condition of the heart, whether we think it is or not. It's a condition of the heart. Everything about me is a condition of the heart, no matter what it is. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Now I'm going to read you NIV again. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. The Amplified says, be gentle and forbearing with one another, and if one has a difference, a grievance, or complaint against another, readily pardoning each other. Even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. That is one of the biggest hang-ups we have of keeping the word in our hearts. We feel we have a right to hang on to grievances and hurts and all these things because they're here. Well, the word that enters into the heart will cleanse the mind. When I find out how much I'm loved and how much I've been forgiven, it becomes easier for me to forgive someone else. Plus, I'm not living back there. I'm living in the now. And I don't want my past to become my future. So if I don't want fruit from the past, I need to sever relationship with it and learn from it, but not live there. Wherever I'm living is what's producing fruit. So I need to move from that place, and I cannot move from that place without God's word. It's not something I can white knuckle through. I've got to have an anchor. I've got to have something pulling me forward, something living and producing life in me to move from that place. Otherwise, you can't do it. No matter how hard you try, you'll keep going back there. You might succeed for a little while, But if you're anchored in the Word, you can always go back to that Word and get life again from it. Amen. And forgive because you've been forgiven. Yes. You love because you've been loved. Amen. It's a love issue, and it's a heart issue. It's a condition of the heart. Now, verse 14. I'm going to use the Amplified for the sake of time. Above and above all these, put on love. Notice you put it on. You put it on, like you do your clothes. So again, there's a choice involved. And above all these, put on love and enfold yourself or wrap yourself up in it with the bond of perfectness. So love is the bond of perfectness. It's what seals and makes us perfect. Brings complete life, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. And let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts. So if I've got the Word in my heart and I'm protecting and guarding it, then it's being my umpire. I will filter these issues that come my way through His love and through who I am and through the Word. It'll be filtered through that, and my response will be in accordance with His Word, no matter what I feel like. Eventually, my feelings will change. I will conform to that Word because I love my Father. But I'm involved in that. Verse 16, let, so there's an action on my part, let the Word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds. Have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness. As you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with His grace in your hearts. Amen. Again, it's a heart condition. Amen. Okay? My problems and issues are a heart condition. It can be changed. I don't have to live there. I don't have to allow the things of this world to determine who I am or where I'm going in life. John 16:23, and when that time comes, you will ask me nothing. You will need to ask me no questions. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that my Father will grant you whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am. How do I present all that He is? He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When I present His Word, there's a verse in Isaiah that says that the Word will not return to me void. God said that. That's what it will not return to me void. So words bother me sometimes. I look at single words. And I asked the Father, I was studying for a message, and I said, how can something that's alive and complete and incorruptible, which is His Word, be void of anything? Void means empty, right? And He says, it's returned to Him. So how do I return it? So these are questions for me. Void means empty, and somehow I got to get this Word back to Him. Not my words, His Word. The thing that Word is void of is my faith. It's my trust and adherence to that Word that makes it void. Not void of God's life, but void of my part in that. It's not activated. A seed has to be activated. And until I take a hold of God's promise in that Word and I agree with it, I consent to it, I submit to it, I declare this is my anchor, that's what He said, this is covenant, God speaking to me. This is mine, because He said it. When I do that, I've activated it. Amen. And now life is there, and that life cannot be stopped. Amen. Satan cannot stop that life. It's impossible for him to stop it, because it's been activated. The only chance he has is to move me off of it. And to start me to doubt that Word. As long as I guard my heart and keep that Word in before my eyes and I trust it, that thing's coming to pass. Because He said it. Not because of anything I'm doing other than guarding and keeping and watching over that Word. There's a battle, yes, but the battle is managing doubt. And if you have an anchor in God's Word, and that's what you're trusting in, that's what you're relying on, then you can control doubt. One minister, I believe it's Charles Capps, he said, you need to learn to doubt your doubts. I doubt that. The Word says this. I doubt that. The Word says this. So that anchor, that Word becomes your anchor in a life because it's covenant. We got to get a new idea of what this Word is. It's alive. It's full of power. And God cannot lie. We need to know that. We need to know it's alive. We need to settle it in our hearts. He said it. No matter what I see, no matter what I believe, no matter what the circumstances are, He said it. Amen. And how can you know that if you're not in it?
Right.
You need to be a student of God's Word daily.
Amen.
Search the promises. Live in the New Testament and reference the Old.
Yes.
Don't leave the Old out. The New Testament has fulfilled the Old, and if we live in the Old, we'll never understand who we are in Christ. We need to apply the Old to the New and divide it by the cross. When we do that, we'll rightly discern the Word, and the Word will bring life to us.
Amen.
There was a lot happened on that cross.
Amen.
When you got a problem or an issue in life, they used to tell me, I used to heard it all the time, nail it to the cross. I don't do that. It's already nailed there. Jesus took care of that.
Amen.
What do? I bring it to the cross, but what's at the base of that cross? Blood.
Yes.
He's not there. He's not on that cross. So I take that issue or problem in life, and I do this in imagery, but that's just what I see. I take that issue or problem, and I push it under the blood.
Amen.
And what happens to something you push under that blood, it covers it up.
Yep.
And now it's got to get out of that blood to get back to life again. But I'm not doing that alone. Jesus is standing right there with me.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit's in me. And we're putting it under the blood together.
Amen.
So whatever your issue in life is today, no matter what it is, healing, health, depression, fear, worry, lack of a job, whatever it is, bring it to the cross, but bring it with the Word.
Yes.
It's established with the Word. That's what God will do. That's what the angels will do. And if you do your part, there's nothing can stop it.
Amen.
Bring it. Don't just lay it at the cross. Push it under the blood. And walk away. When doubt comes up, that's under the blood.
Amen.
You want to get that, Satan, you got to go to the blood and get it. And he's not going in there.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, I thank you for this time in the Word today. I thank you so much for the truth of your Word. Father, I'm asking you for a revelation of your Word for the church as a whole. The church needs a refreshing in your Word. We need to see it through your eyes. We need to see covenant again. We need to see who you really are. And Father, we need to have the identity of who we are through that sacrifice that was made. And Father, I thank you for this house and this people. I'm asking, Father, that our hearts be so tightly knit together, that our hearts are one before you, stretching out through the eons of time and eternity, for we are already one with the Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you know our future and know our path. So, Father, I speak blessings over this house and over all who are here, over those who could not be here for various reasons, over Pastor in St. Louis. Bless him, Lord. Cover him. Keep him safe and his family, and bring him back to us, Father. We need our brother in the Lord. He's the shepherd of this house, under shepherd, as he says, under Jesus. And, Father, we need that man in this house. We thank you for his health and healing. We thank you, Father, for divine revelation of your Word. We thank you, Father, for fire in his steps again and fire in his voice. And we thank you for it, Father. And I pray that wherever the situations are in the lives of these people here gathered, that you'll shine the light of your Spirit upon each one of them. That, Father, you will reveal to them through your Word the steps that they need to take and the part that you've played already. Thank you, Father, for the fullness of the completed work of Jesus. We give you praise for these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Preach myself happy. Praise the Lord.